Today's daf is Yud Dalet. We're going to start at the very, very bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Unfortunately, most of our batinos have from Shimon Chana, Carmela ben Neima, Orly Pnina bar Racha, Frida Chaim Alka, Esther bat Zipporah, Daniel ben Mirim Chayrut, Yosef ben Rachel, Leah bat Rivka, Rafael Yeshua Palak ben Bracha Bati, Yael Mirim bat Chai, Rina Chai bat Shoshana, Yaakov ben Rosa, Tzvi ben Mela, Talia Racha bat Tamar Sarah, Lilo Nishma Chana bat Batara, Varezel bat Sarah. Okay, if you recall, way back in the beginning of Kiddushin, we had the Mishnah, which compared, it was talking about the Ha'isha Nikneh B'Shlasha Drachim, V'Konat Atma B'Shtei Drachim, then we had the Kesef Shtar Mbiya, and she's Konat Atma B'Gedu B'Mitat Habal, and now we're going to move to the last line of that Mishnah, and we're finally going to finish the Mishnah and move on to the next Mishnah today. Ha'yivama Nikneh B'Bi'a V'Konat Atma B'Chalitza B'Mitat Ha'yabam. So the Yavama only gets acquired by Bia. Meaning, if he does Kesef or Shtar, it's not actually, they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet. We talked about, when we learned Yavamo, that it's called Ma'amar, if he does some sort of Tekes Kiddushin, a betrothal ceremony with her, in which case it has only validity Midorabana, not Midoraita. And if he does that, then she, all sorts of ramifications happen, which is she now can no longer do Yibam with any of the other brothers, only with the one who she did Ma'amar with, and there's all sorts of ramifications, but it's only all on Durabanan level, on a Duraita level, until they actually sleep together, it's not considered Yibam. So today we're going to learn the source for that. Okay. So now, Hayivama nikneh bibia. So bibia minala. Where do we learn this from? Amakra yivama yavo aleha ulekachalo liisha. So the pasuk says. Okay, you can look at the top section of the page. I brought all the pasukim. So it says ki yeshvu achim yachdavu metecha mehem. When brothers live together and one of them dies, uben ein lo. She's not allowed to marry anybody else. So the Yavam has to sleep with her and take her to be his wife. And then there's this extra word, v'yibma, and he will do yibam with her. So we'll see in a minute what they do with that. So right now they say, yivama yavo aleha. There it is. It's explicit in the text. They have to have sex. Ve'ema l'kula milta ki'isha. Maybe, right, especially it says, u'lekachalo li'isha. So maybe, it's true it says yavo, but maybe it means that she can also do all the other options, like kesef and shtar. So then they say, lo sal kadatach. We don't think so. Why? Titania, yachol yuhu kesef u'shtar gomrim ba, kederach shabia gomer ba. You might have thought that kesef and shtar would, you know, solidify the deal, so to speak. Just like bia, Talmud lomar, v'yibma. So now they say, that's why you need that extra word, v'yibma. V'yibma tells you that only bia gomeripa, v'ein kesef u'shtar gomrimba. Okay, so that's what they say. So therefore, you learn from the fact that it says yibama yavo aleha, maybe that's not enough. Maybe it would say, oh, well, also other methods are an option. V'yibma comes to say only through bia. Even though v'yibma is not, the root is not yavo, right? It's not bia. But they learn it from there that that's the only way to do it, because only when he fulfills it is when it works. Ve'ema, my v'yibma, maybe v'yibma doesn't come to mean that. Maybe v'yibma means debal korchami abem. Okay, there's another halacha that we learn. This is going to be the theme of today. Every time they're going to try to learn something from a pasuk, they're going to say, well, maybe we learned something else from that pasuk. We've seen this many times before where they say, oh, well, sorry, you can't learn that because we need it for something else. What's another halacha about Yibam? While we've been learning all along here that Kiddushin can only be done with her consent, Yibam can be done against her wishes, okay, or without her consent. So maybe you'll learn that from V'yibma, meaning, and he's the one who does it, sounds like, right? He does Yibam with her. So therefore, maybe you should use V'yibma to teach you that, in which case, maybe we could still learn the Kesef and Shtar would work for Yavama. Imken lemakra. Again, we're going to have the same thing we keep seeing, which is, well, the pasuk can actually, the word can teach you two things, because if it really just wanted to teach you, Baal Korcha would have said V'yabam. My v'yibma shmat mina tarte, since it's made up, right? Again, it's not, I don't know what the word is in Hebrew, but it's not a compound word, but it has two parts to it, really. So it's v'yabam ota. So because of that, we can learn two different things. Number one, it's bal korcha. Number two, that it has to be done only through bia and not by any other means. Okay, done with that one. Now we're going to move on to the second part, which is b'chalitza. How do we know the chalitza works? Okay, this is an interesting one, because we would think that obviously, we're going to get to that after. Sorry, the next one is the thing that was obvious. But anyway, now we're going to say, where do we learn the chalitza works? Okay, the chalitza is the way to redeem her, and we're going to suggest, maybe get would have worked with her. The chalitza minalan. Dichtiv v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beit chalutz hana'am. Okay, this is the very last pasuk. You can look on the sheet. Okay, I brought it. So the very last pasuk is, right, so if the psukim continue, if she doesn't want to do yibum, then what happens? Then they bring him to this kenim, and they say, this person doesn't, she comes up and she says, me'en yibmi lahakim shem achib b'Yisrael. We saw that pasuk about me'en, that it's ein doesn't have a yud. Okay, my yabam doesn't want to marry me. And then the Zikneh Ha'ir come to him and they talk to him and he says, no, I still don't want to. Remember, they try to convince him. We learned this in Yibum, in Yivamot. They try to convince him that maybe he really should do this. And then he goes and V'chaltsana alome al-raglo. So then she takes off his shoe. There's a special chalitza shoe we learned about. She takes off his shoe. Okay, by the way, I bolded all the words we're going to darshan here. So soon we're going to see this word V'chaltsana alo. We're in Pasuk Tet in Dvarim Perek Kafei. She takes off his shoe, the araglo. She spits into it. She says, "Kacha yasela isha shelo yivne at beit achiv." Right, reminiscent of the Megillah. "Kacha yasela ish." Okay, the same phrase is used here. So, or really, the same phrase from here is used in the Megillah.
Mm-hmm. So one's positive, one's negative.
Right, one's positive, one's negative. Exactly. Well, it depends whose perspective. It was negative from Haman's perspective. We're going to see another thing, by the way, which references the Megillah. So being a Shushan Purim relevant later on today. And his name will be called in Israel, the one, how would you say it's exactly? The one whose shoe was taken off. Okay, so that's what we learn. The whole thing we want to say here is, now to you this is obvious, that once he does chalitza, obviously she can marry everyone. If you recall from the beginning, what happened? She wasn't allowed to marry Zar, right? Chutza l'ish Zar. She can't marry anyone Zar. Obviously, chalitza is what allows this process to happen, right? That once he does chalitza, instead of yibum, then she's now allowed to marry anybody she wants. So they want to not take this for granted and say, well, where do you learn this? So they say, well, it says his name will be called in Israel. Now we're going to darshan this Israel outside of the context of this pasuk, and we're going to say, oh, well, once he's chalutz hana'al, then she's mutar b'Yisrael. Okay, like the Israel kind of contrasts with the Zar in the first pasuk. Okay. Or contrasts with the fact that she couldn't marry an Ishzar. So now they say, wait a minute, we need that Yisrael for something else. We can't darshan that. Hi Yisrael, l'hachi hudata? Could it really come to teach you that? Hi mibayle l'chiditani rav shmo bar Yehuda, b'Yisrael, b'beitin shel Yisrael, v'lo b'beitun shel avdei kochavim. Right? What do we learn from here? That you can't do chalitza in a non-Jewish court, okay, which we would, makes sense. Right? We learned this before also, that, gittin and things like that can't be done in non-Jewish courts. So this also can't be done in non-Jewish court. And you learn that from the fact that it says, v'nikrashmo b'Yisrael. So now what are they going to say? Ah, trei Yisrael k'tive. Right? Look, I bolded it. By the way, it appears three times in the text here, okay? And pasuk vav, in pasuk zayin, and in pasuk yud. So they're saying, oh, that Yisrael we darshan from a different one. This Yisrael we teach that she can go marry anybody she wants after she does chalitza. V'akate. But now they say, no, we still need it. Mibay leilecha detanya for a different braita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, pam achad yinu yishvim lifnei Rabbi Tarfon, ubata yivama lachlotz, v'amar lanu, anu kuchem v'amru chalotz hanal, chalotz hanal. They say, wait a minute. Yes, it's true we don't need the Yisrael to teach us something else, but that pasuk, v'nikrashmo b'Yisrael beit chalutz hanal, comes to teach us that when you do a yibum ceremony, chalitza ceremony, that you have to say, the people who are standing there have to say, if you recall, we learned this in Yivamot also, chalotz hanal, chalotz hanal. Okay, they call him that. Okay, so and Rabbi Yehuda tells the story that one time they were before Rabbi Tarfon, and Yivama came, lachlot, and everybody shouted out, chalotz hanal, chalotz hanal. Okay, sorry, chalutz hanal, chalutz hanal. So they say, well, there you have it. So now they say, no, hahu mi vinikrashmo nafka. That's darshan from the words Nikra Shmo. It didn't have to say Be Yisrael. So the Be Yisrael still teaches you that once they do this, then she's allowed to marry anyone in Yisrael. Okay, finish with Yibum, finish with Chalitza. Now we're going to move on to how the Yavama is cleared, is free to marry anyone else, B'mitata Yavam. Okay, once the Yavam dies, how do we know that that also matures her? Maybe there would be some issue, you know, if maybe she wouldn't be free. Minala. So what do they say? Kavachomer, kavachomer. We're going to learn a kavachomer from the Eshet Ish case. Ma Eshet Ish, okay, here I put charts here for the kavachomers like I did the other day. So what's the kal here? The kal is the Eshet Ish. Ma Eshet Ish, she bechenek. But why is she kal? Because mitata bal matirata. In other words, even though it's asher bechenek, right, if you, now you have to remember, there's a difference between the Yivama is an Isra Lav, okay? It's only forbidden by a Lav for her to marry anybody else. It's not a high-level Isur. Whereas an Eshet Ish is Asur Bechenek. That actually makes her Chamor. But here we're going to see that she's Kal. Why is she Kal? Because Mitat HaBaal Matirata, she gets that very easily as soon as her husband dies, an Eshet Ish, she's no longer, you know, she can go marry anyone she wants. So Yivama, Shehi Belav, if the Yivama is Belav, then Lo Kol Shekein, then isn't it all the more so? If the Eshet Ish, her Baal, is Matirata, then obviously the Yivama should be allowed to be Matirata, you know, in his death. So they say no, because there's a certain Chumra that exists by an Eshet Ish, a certain aspect that, right, this is actually the opposite. It's saying if the Din, it's really the opposite of a Kavah Chumra. It's the Din Chamor has a Din Kal, then obviously the din Tiyoter Kal should have that same din Kal. It's really like a weird kind of kavachomer. Okay, so since the person whose din is chamor, the Eshet Ish, versus the Yivama, who's only Yisur Lav to marry someone else, has a lighter, right, the Eshet Ish has a lighter din, which is that she gets out b'mitat HaBaal. So therefore, also, the Yivama should go out b'mitat HaBaal. But they say, no, because there's a unique thing by an Eshet Ish that doesn't exist by Yivama. In other words, a kula. So what is it? Mala eshet ish sheken yotza beget. Tomar bezo she'ena yotza beget. In other words, an eshet ish has an easy way out through a get. Okay, you might call it get, right? It's not exactly easy, but the point is that there's some din that doesn't exist in terms of, right, dafka, what our issue is. If you would take this kavachomer, well, then you'd be able to say a chalut, right, a yivama can go out with a get also, and we know that that's not the case. So if she can't go out by a get, maybe she also can't go out by mita. So they say no, but Hanami Yotza b'chalitza. In other words, she has an alternative. Get and chalitza are basically equated. So you can't say that an Eshet Ish has an easier way out because she has get, because the Yivama also has the way out, which is chalitza. So that's not, that can't knock down this kavachomer.
Do chalitza at any point during the marriage?
No, you could do, the point is that if you want to say that the Eshet Ish gets out because she has a way out through get, we could also say the Yivama is a way out by Chalitza, which obviously can only be done before Yibum is done. Because if Yibum is done, then there's no point. There's no, you know, Chalitza is irrelevant once you do Yibum. But, and as what happens is, if you actually do Yibum, then she becomes Ki'ishtol Chodavar, we learn, and then she needs a get to get out. So the point is just when she's in this in-between waiting stage. So she has a way out also, just like get. So just because the chalitza doesn't have get, she has chalitza, so the yivama, sorry, I keep calling her the wrong term. Just like the yivama has a way out by chalitza, so, and the Eshet Ish has by get, so therefore you could make that comparison. But now they say, no, there's something else. Elamala Eshet Ish, shekein, another unique deem by an Eshet Ish, that therefore wouldn't allow us to learn to chalitza, to yibum. Mala Eshet Ish, shekein, osra mitira. The one who forbids her is the one who matures her, meaning her husband originally forbade her, right, to all other men when she got married to him. And who's matur her? The husband, either by his death or by a get. And whereas a chalutza is not the case. Why? Because who ostered her in the beginning? Her first husband. And the now who's going to matur her? Maybe the death of the brother won't free her from the bonds of her first husband. So Amaravashi, Hanami osra mitira. It's not true, because here also, the one who answers her matures her. Yabam osra, yabam sharela. You could see Yibam also, and that's what's the situation. If the husband died with without kids, but he had no one to do Yibum, she'd be allowed. So therefore, the existence of the Yabam is actually what forbids her. It's true that it doesn't cause the original thing that forbade her, but if he didn't exist, then she wouldn't be forbidden. So basically, it is he who is ossering her. And therefore, Yabam Sharela. So therefore, we could still make this Kal V'chomer. Okay, and that's where, so now we're up to the point where we've gotten rid of the questions on the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer still stands, and that's our makor for Mitat Habal, the Mitat HaYabam, Matur is the woman, because we could learn a Kal V'chomer from Eish Ed Ish. But now we're going to have another question on this. V'tehei Eish Ed Ish Yotza B'chalitza Mikal V'chomer. We can say, now we have a separate question, which is, according to this, why don't we say that an Eshet Ish goes out by Chalitza from a Kal V'chomer? In other words, until now we've said an Eshet Ish goes out by Get, right, or Mitat Habal. Maybe she should be allowed, maybe if we make a Kal V'chomer like this, we can make another Kal V'chomer and say we can learn from Chalitza to the Eshet Ish. How? Uma Yivama she'ena yotza beget, yotza b'chalitza, right? If the Yivama has this unique halacha that she can't go out by get, but she can go out by chalitza, that makes her din, right, more kal in a way. So zo she'yotza beget, so the one who does yotza beget, eno din she'yotza b'chalitza. In other words, what they're saying here really is the din of get is more chamor, right? And if you can't be yotze beget, you can be yotze bechalitza. So if you can't be yotze beget, then you should be allowed to be yotze bechalitza. They're basically taking the original thing they suggested and flipping it. So amakra, no, there's a reason why this Kal V'chomer doesn't work, because there's a pasuk that gets rid of this Kal V'chomer, which is, we've learned this many times, sefer kritut. By get, what do you have to give her? A book of kritut. So sefer korta be'ein davar acher korta. Chalitza obviously doesn't have a book. It has a shoe and a ceremony, right? That's not a good enough ceremony to get rid of a woman from a marriage, because there it says you need a book. Okay, and therefore it has to be written. V'tehei yivama. Okay, turn over to the next page now on your sheet. Okay, so now we have a question. V'tehei yivama yotzeit beget mikal v'chomer. Why don't you say the yivama can go out from a get b'chal v'chomer? Uma eshedish, let's flip it on its side. Uma eshedish she'ein yotza b'chalitza yotza b'get. Sorry, I said before we did the flip. This is the flip of it. An eshedish can't go out by chalitza, but she can go out by get. So zo she yotza b'chalitza, so shouldn't you be able to say, right? The one who can go out with chalitza, ein odin she yotza b'get. So now they say no, because amar kra kacha. Okay, look back at the pasuk. It said kacha yaseh l'ish. I forgot to bold it, but the second to last pasuk tet, kacha yaseh le'ish asher lo yivneh beit Yisrael, right? What do you do to a person? Just this. This is the only thing you do to a person who, right, the kacha comes to stress, only this. V'kacha ikuva. So now they say, v'chol hecha di'ike ikuva. Oh, sorry, I think this starts the question. V'kacha ikuva, v'chol hecha di'ike ikuva lo darshe kal v'chomer. Now we're going to say, is it always clear that when you have some lashon like kacha, okay, now we're going to take a pasuk that doesn't have the word kacha, but has something else that sounds like kacha. Okay, we're going to always say that it's ikuva, and therefore you can't darshan a Kal V'chomer, because that's what we said here. What did we just say? We said you would think that you could darshan a Kal V'chomer, but because it says kacha, that teaches you that only this method and not any other method. So now they say, is that really true? Because we have some place where it seems to say that. And now it's going to be a little complicated, because what are they going to say? There, they darshan it from somewhere else that this is the only way, but had it not been for that other something, even though it says something similar to kacha, not exactly kacha, but it's going to be the word chuka, okay? Chuka means it's a chok, it has to be done this way. That maybe you would have learned that you could do it some other way, okay? But it needed some other pasuk to teach you that's the only way to do it, because if we didn't have that other pasuk to teach you that's the only way to do it, the chukah wouldn't have been strong enough to say that's the only way to do it, okay? And in that way, they want to say maybe kacha doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. Okay, so what's this issue? Okay, this is where I'm going to get to Yom Kippur. V'ha Yom Kippur dechtiv goral v'chukah. Okay, that's why it reminded me a little of Purim with the Goral. Okay? So, there's two words in the Pesukim by Yom Kippur. Goral and Chuka. V'tanya. V'asau chatat. Ha-goral oseh chatat, ve'en Hashem oseh chatat. How do you designate the korban la'azazel? Right, when you send the two se'irim and one goes off the cliff and the other one gets sacrificed. So how do you determine this? By the goral and not by shame. What does it mean, shame? Shame is we call it, right? We say this one goes there and that one goes there. Where do we have an example of that? The two birds that the yoledet brings. Right, or there's a bunch of cases where people bring two birds. Mm-hmm. So then, and there's one olah and one chatat. So you designate by name. That's Hashem. You call it. You say this one's going to go chatat, that one's going to go olah, and that designates them. Right. First, you just bring two, and then after they get decided which one's going where. So here they're going to learn because it says vasau chatat. They're going to learn from there that the goral does the determines which one's going to be for chatat, and not designating it by name. You might have thought it's a kavachomer. Like in the olan chatat of the yoledet, kidesh Hashem. Right? In a case where the goral doesn't work, right? What works? Designating it by name. So makom shekidesh goral, you might have thought that a place where the goral does work, einu din shekidesh Hashem. Right, you understand the goral? They would pick out like a lottery. It would be like a lottery thing. So they would do a lottery. We learned exactly how it all worked in Yoma. So you might have thought that in a case where kidesh Hashem, but the goral doesn't work, but the shame does work. So now take a place where the goral works. If the goral works, well then maybe also right kriyat Hashem would work in addition. Okay, so now they say. So Talmud Lomar Vasau Chatat. That's why you need the Pasuk, and remember this, that's why you need the words Vasau Chatat to teach you. Hagoral Osa Chatat Ve'en Hashem Osa Chatat. Okay, so those words teach you, only by the Goral can you make it a Chatat, but not by calling it by name. So now what's the Chidush here? V'ta'ama D'mi'ate Kra. It's because the Pasuk specifically said Vasau Chatat. But Halav Hachi, we would have darshan in the Kavachomer. Af algav dichtiv bechuka. Even though it said chuka, chuka is our word that's like kacha. Even though it said this is a chuka, which means it has to be done in this way, just because it says it has to be done this way doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. You might have thought kavachomer that. You needed a special pasuk, pasau chatat, to teach you it has to be done this way. So therefore, the word kacha wouldn't necessarily prove it has to be done only in this way. And maybe you could have also done it by get. So therefore, they're going to have to learn a different method. The kavachomer isn't good enough here, okay? The kacha telling you we can't darshan a kavachomer, because kacha is like chukah, and chukah wasn't enough. They needed some other limud. So now we're going to have to go back to our case and come up with a different limud. Amakra, la v'loy liyabma. When it says by get, remember, v'katav la sefer kritut, what does that teach you? Only this woman can get a sefer kritut, but not anybody else. So now what are they obviously going to ask? What do you mean? We use la for ema la lishma. La is, we have that word already used for a drasha. What's the drasha? That a get has to be written in her name, specifically for her. So what do they say? Oh, tre la ktive. La appears twice in the parsha, not just once. So because of that, we can darshan twice. But then they say no, but even those two are both being used. Va'kate mi bai lechad la lishma. Remember, we learned this, that you can't, let's say you're married to two women and you want to divorce them both with one get. You can't do that. You can't say, I'm going to matir you and you in one get, right? You could have two gets side by side, but you can't have one get for two women. So therefore, you need the law for that. So they say, so therefore the law doesn't work. Let's try something else. Ela amarkra na'al. Na'al in midiach rine lo. When it says Beit Chalutz Hana'al, remember? So, what would you learn from Beit Chalutz Hana'al? That only a Na'al matirs this woman and nothing else like a get can matir her. So then they say, wait a minute, but hi Na'al, lahachi yuda'ata, hi mebaile, l'chidetanya, Na'alo, ainli ela Na'alo. We need the Na'al for something else. Okay, so now look in the Parsha. You can see I bolded twice. The word na'al appears twice. In Tet, it appears as na'alo, v'chaltzan na'alo me'al raglo. She takes off his shoe. And then at the end it says, v'nikrash mo v'yisrael beit chalutz hana'al. So now they're going to darshan both these words. And you're going to see from this drasha that beit chalutz hana'al, that we need the, and the whole thing is we want to say na'al is na'al only for That's the only way she can get out of it is with a na'al, not any other way. But now we're going to say we need both na'al and na'alo for another drasha. Na'alo, en li'ala na'alo. Na'al shall call adam minale. Where do we learn? Because in fact, when we use chalitza, when we do chalitza, we have a special shoe in the beitim. We don't use his own shoe. So where do you know that it doesn't, right? It says na'alo. It sounds like it has to be his own shoe. So how do you know it doesn't have to be owned by him, right? Let's say, like the ring, they always ask the husband, do you own this, right? Did you buy it? But in the na'al case, it doesn't have to be owned by him. How do we know this? Talmud lomar na'al. They use the na'al at the end, the very last pasuk in the parsha, to teach you it could be any na'al riba, any na'al. It doesn't necessarily have to belong to him. So im ken matamud lomar na'alo. So why does it say na'alo in the earlier pasuk, which sounds like it has to be his? Na'alo hara oilo, prat legadol she'en yachol ha'lechbo, prat lekatan she'en chofet rov raglo. Has to be around his size, okay? It has to be a shoe that is not too big and not too small. And that's what we learn from na'alo. Prat lemisulim she'en lo ekev. This is a type of shoe that doesn't have a heel or a sole or some sort of shoe like that, which wouldn't work. So then they say, im kein licht nifto. Okay, so now what do we have? So therefore, na'al is not free to teach you what we write. Na'al taught you that it could be a shoe not owned by him. So now, and na'alo taught you that it has to be the right size. So those words aren't free anymore. So what do they say? Imken, again, we're going to say, oh, well, the word is made up of two things. Imken, nechtov kran na'al. My ha-na'al, shmat minatarite. Okay, the pasuk said, beit chalut ha-na'al. So ha-na'al comes to say we can learn two things from here. So in the end, they darshan, you can't get out by get, you can only get out by chalisa from the word ha-na'al. Okay, end of section. Yeah, but if you thought this was confusing, it's going to continue on. Today is all about these darshan psukim. Okay, now we're going to have it by the Eved Ivri. Although maybe it's a little less confusing here. Eved Ivri, new Mishnah. Eved Ivri, nikne b'kesef. Okay, finally, Dr. Yudala, we get to the second Mishnah. The Eved Ivri now, if we're talking about people that get acquired, right, we're going to move on to the Eved Ivri. Like I said, we're going to get to the Behema. We're going to get to all different types of kinyanim. The Eved Ivri, how is he acquired? B'kesef u'bishtar. Okay, remember the Eved Ivri, okay? The Eved Ivri is someone, okay, we're going to see all about this today. We're not going to quote very much from the Pesukim. It appears in three sections. It's actually quite confusing, and you'll see why today, you know, we're going to see Halacha Lamasa also, there was confusion about this. There's two types of Eved Ivri, so to speak. One is sold by the Beitim because he stole, let's say, and he doesn't have money to pay back, so he gets sold by the courts into slavery. Another is that he is poor and he can't afford to live, so he sells himself into slavery to be able to afford life in general. So we're going to see that it comes up in a few parshiot. One is in Devarim Kaf Aleph in Parshat Mishpatim. Then it comes up, the psukim we're going to darshan are mostly in Devarim Perek Tefav and in Vayikra Perek Kafei. Okay, so Devarim Perek Tefav starts out, Ki yimacher lecha achicha ivri o ivriya, if they get sold, okay, that seems because that's the one where he stole, right, and he gets sold into slavery. And Ki amuch achicha imach v'nim karlach, that's when he can't afford to live. Okay, Ki amuch in Vayikra Perek Kafhei is when he can't afford to live and he sells himself into slavery. So later on, we're going to darshan differences between the two based on what appears, you know, at least there's going to be machloket. Are there differences? Are there not differences based on what appears in which perek and which parsha? So by the way, the context in Vayikra is Yovel, right? All the end of Sefer Vayikra, when it talks about all the ge'ula of the fields, etc. So it's talking about the freedom of the slaves. Whereas in Dvarim, it's the context of Kitetse and all the different mitzvot that they're getting before they go into the land. Okay. So Eved Ivri nikne b'kesef u'bishtar. So the Eved Ivri gets sold by money or with a shtar. V'kon atzmo bishanim ubiyovel ubigeraon kesef. What does that mean? He gets bought out by either shanim. What does that mean? He works according to the Torah for 6 years. On the seventh year, he goes free. Or if the shnat yovel comes out before that. Or bigeraon kesef, meaning if he pays his way out. Let's say he worked for 2 years and now he has enough money to afford buying himself out, or he has a relative who can bail him out. Yitera alav amayvriya, and amayvriya is better than this, and she's got one up on him. Shekonet atzma b'simanim, Right? She can get out when she becomes of age. Remember, she leaves. Again, that's if he doesn't want to marry her. Okay, this is if the Eved wants to stay in slavery. Okay, one interesting halacha I learned this is that, I didn't know this, but when he gets sold into slavery, what happened, right? Why does he usually want to stay? Because he now has this shifchan, this new family, and he wants to stay with them. What's interesting is, I didn't know this, but you can't, so what happens? He pierces his ear and all that, and then he stays, and what this is telling you is, he gets acquired through the piercing the ear, and he gets redeemed at Yovel. Even if he pierced the ear, he still goes free in Yovel, or if the Adon dies. He doesn't stay with his children. He doesn't get passed on to the children. Now, what's interesting about this is that if he only gets to get a shifcha if he's already married. Like if he was single, he doesn't get to get a shifcha. Okay? And we're going to see later, there's a machloket, but according to this, according to the Tanakhama, he can't get a shifcha kna'anit if he sold himself into slavery. Only if the beitin sold him into slavery. And I thought maybe that was a motivation. They didn't want people to be able to, go marry a shifcha. So they would sell themselves into slavery so they could be with the shifcha. Not that they would necessarily want to, but, generally you can't be with a shifcha kna'anit. And maybe this guy wanted, and only if he's sold by the beitin does he get a shifcha kna'anit. Anyway, why this is, I don't know exactly, but there's certain conditions. You can't always get a shifcha kna'anit. It's not like... Depends, right? According to Tanakhama, at least, it's only going to be if his he got sold into slavery, and not that he sold himself, and again, if he's already married, which is strange because if he's already married, they're giving him this other wife. But if he was single going in, he doesn't get a shifcha kna'anit, which makes it all the stranger that he wants to stay in slavery with the shifcha kna'anit when he already has a family outside. Right? It's quite strange. Anyway, food for thought. Eved Ivri nikneh b'kesef minalan. So now we're going to go along the same lines we've been having until now, which is, where do we know that he's nikneh b'kesef? Amar kra mikesef miknato. Okay, again, I bolded this. This is the very last. Okay, there's actually two sections, okay? In Vayikra Kafhei, there's a few sections, but the two that we're going to focus on are ki amuchachicha imach, which is he's poor and he has to sell himself into slavery. And then the second section is v'chita sig yag ger v'toshav imach u'mach achicha imo v'nimkar l'ger toshav imach o le'ikar mishpachat ger. They understand here is a person who got sold to an obed kochavim, and at the end to a non-Jew, and this is a Jew, in other words, there's an Eved Ivri who gets sold to a non-Jew, and then it talks about how, you have to try to redeem him, basically. Okay? And then it says... whatever, well, I'm not going to get into the details, but it says at the end there, mikesef miknato. So it sounds like he was acquired by money. So then obviously they're going to ask, right? That sounds like it's only in the section of someone who sold to an ovei kochavim, not someone who sold to a Jew. So anyway, I just wanted you to see that in the psukim is to understand why the Gemara is going to go and question that. So first they say, melamech nikne b'kesef. So that person, mikesef miknato, right? It was bought to him from money. Ashkechan Eved Ivri Hanimkar Lo Bekochavim Ho Yovachol Kinyano Bekesef Nimkar Bekesef. So we understand by an Eved Ivri Hanimkar Lo Bekochavim because that's the context of where the pasuk appears, and that's because the whole thing was with money. But Nimkar Li Yisrael Minalam. But where do we learn that if he sold to a Jew, that would be the case? Amar Kra VeHefda. This we already learned the other day, so I didn't bring the pasuk. But if you remember in Shmo Kaf Aleph, when it talks about the Yama Ivriya, what does it say? V'hefdeh lo niftata, right? If he doesn't redeem her when she becomes of age, he doesn't marry her. So hefda, how do we learn this? Hefda melamech migrat, remember we learned this? Migrat pidyonav yotza. What does she do? She deducts the amount of years that she worked and somebody buys her out of slavery. Okay, in the case that he doesn't marry her. So now you see that's in the context of the Yama Ivriya. So now what are they obviously going to say? Well, maybe that's only the Yama Ivriya, not the Eved Ivri. So, Eshkechan Yama Ivriya. So fine. So now we have it that by someone who gets sold to an Eved Ivri gets sold to an Ovei Kochavim, and Yama Ivriya gets sold to a Jew. What about, right? What about Eshkechan Yama Ivriya ho'ilu mikdasha b'kesef, mikniya b'kesef? We know already that Yama Ivriya, right? Because she's bought by kesef, she gets... why would we think it's only by an Amai Vriya that she gets bought by Kesef? Because she also gets married, a woman gets married with Kesef. So maybe if she's an Amai Vriya, we could see, fine, just like, right, again, this whole comparison of women and slaves, right? Just like a woman who gets married gets bought by Kesef, also an Amai Vriya can be bought by Kesef. And how do we know? Evid Ivri Min Alan. How do we know it also works for a man? Amar Kra. Ki macher lecha achicha ivri o ha'ivriya. Okay, if you look at Perek Tevav in Dvarim, it says, that's the first pasuk. Ki macher lecha achicha ivri o ha'ivriya. So what are we going to learn here now? Right? Vavadcha sheshanim. Makish ivri livriya. So therefore, we see that they're comparable. So therefore, since she could be bought by Kesef, also he could be bought by Kesef. So now they're going to say, except, okay, this is why I gave you the intro. What's the context of this pasuk? Only ki macher lecha, meaning if they're sold by the beiting, but not necessarily if they sell themselves into slavery. So eshkecha macharuhu beitin, ho'il v'nimkar. In other words, they were sold, there was a third party there. The beitin sold him into slavery. Okay, ho'il v'nimkar ba'al korcho, but mocher, right, he was sold against his will. But mocher atzmo min alam, but if he goes into it willingly, how do you know that it could be done with kesef? So now they say, yalef sachir sachir. Okay, now look in the, again, I bolded this. In Perek Tevav, in Dvarim, when it talks about, remember, the context of that pasuk is the Beit Din selling him. And the last pasuk there says, lo yikshe be'enecha b'shalchecha oto chofshi me'imach, right, don't make it difficult in your eyes to set him free. Ki mishnes char sachir avadcha ashe shanim. Because he was your worker for 6 years. In other words, let him go free. So there it says the word sachir. And in Vayikra Kafhe, when it talks about a person selling himself into slavery out of poverty, it says, Ki amuchachicha imach, benimkar lach, lo tavobo avadat parech, avadat aved, kisachir ketoshav yeimach. So here the word sachir appears also. So what do they say? Gzera shava, what's true for this is true for that. So now we've learned, amai vriyat eved ivri, to Eved Ivri who's sold by the Beitin. Now Eved Ivri who's sold by the Beitin to Eved Ivri who sells himself. Okay, two gzera shavas, but right, one is a hekesh in the pasuk. There's achicha ivri o ivriya come in the pasuk, and the next one is a gzera shava. Now there's a rule by gzera shava though. The gzera shava only works if you have a masoret about the gzera shava. So now they're going to say, well, this only works, right? Hani chalamandi yalef sachir sachir sachir. This only works if you're going to darshan that gzera shava. Ela lamandi lo yalef sachir sachir ma'ika lameimar. Okay, now. Take a break on this. We're going to go back to this, and we're going to say, who's the guy who, you know, they're not just saying it randomly, but they know, they have a masoret that there's one guy who darshins the gzera shava and one guy who doesn't. And that's going to be the machloka that I mentioned before about, are there differences between the two Eved Ivris or are there not? Okay, whether you sell yourself or you get sold by the court. Is there a difference in all sorts of halachot or not? So one guy darshins the gzera shava, in which case everything is true for one is true for the other. But the one who doesn't darshan it, so we're not going to be able to learn that you can buy him bekesef from the other guy. So what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Amakra, v'chi tasig, mosif al inyam risham v'yelamed al yomi tachton. So now go back to Vayikra. Okay, this is why I brought you all the psukim here. If you look in Vayikra Kafhe, the first section is ki amuchachicha imach, right? Your brother gets sold into poverty. Then there's some section in between. I didn't bring it. But then the section after that says v'chi tasig yager v'toshav imach, which is the getting sold to an Eved Kanani. And from there we saw Mikesef Miknato, right? He gets bought by Kesef. So what are they darshaning here? It says v'chi tasig yado, end. Because it says end, what does it do? It connects the inyan elyon, the inyan tachton. It connects Vayikra Lamitet to Vayikra Mem Zayin. And it says, because it says end, we're going to say that what's true for that is true for that. Obviously not in every way, but in this way, yes. Okay, it's a weak answer because, like I said, there's a section in between. So you'd have to say that connects to both sections. But you could say that because you can see even B'chi Amuch has a vav also. So anyway, they're darshaning this vav and they're saying that teaches you that they're the same. Okay, so now they want to tell you, Uman Tana de lo yalef sachir sachir. Hi Tana hu de Tanya, it's this Tana who says, okay, now follow along in the bottom. Okay, there's a chart at the bottom with the difference. This is Tanakama, and he's going to say basically, there's a difference between mocher atzmo and mecharuhu beitin, and for that I did the chart. Okay, there's four differences according to him. Okay, this is very interesting. Hamocher atzmo nirkar l'shesh, v'yeter al shesh, v'yeter al shesh. Okay, so the mocher, someone who sells himself, is sold for six or more than six. In other words, he can, in theory, sell himself for any number of years. He can even, according to some mafreshim, sell himself for less than 6 years. Okay, the whole six-year thing doesn't apply to a mocher atzmo. That's what he's saying, Tanakama. Okay, the whole 6 years is only mecharuhu beitin. So mecharuhu beitin eino nimkar ela l'shesh. That's a unique halacha only for, so now we're going to learn that all these halachot that we know about in Eved Ivri, according to Tanakama, only apply to someone who the court sells and not gets sold because he stole or something like that and can't pay, as opposed to someone who sells himself out of poverty. Hamocher atzmo eino nirtza. Okay, he can't do the piercing your ear thing, the mocher atzmo. Mecharuhu beitin nirtza. Okay, but the someone who the baked in cells can be. Mocher atzmo ein ma'anikim lo. Mecharu beitin ma'anikim lo. Okay, this is a pasuk that comes up in, let's find the pasuk. Here. In Dvarim Perek Tevav, pasuk Yudalid, or it's, let's start from Yugimel. Right? After it says, he worked for you for 6 years, and then the seventh year you should send him free. Don't send him empty-handed. Okay, you have to give him presents when he leaves. So again, they say, well, that only comes up in the context of the mecharuhu beitin, and not in the context of the other. So mecharuhu beitin, he gets this extra stuff when he leaves, but not a mocher atzmo. Hamocher atzmo, here we have what I mentioned before, ein rabo moser lo shibcha knanit. He doesn't get a shibcha knanit. Mecharuhu beitin, rabo moser lo shibcha knanit. Okay, so again, they're going to basically say, because these are mentioned in different places, and each one doesn't mention the other situation, right? The situation is particularly if you get sold into slavery by the court. So therefore, all those details are only true if you get sold into slavery by the court. Now, Rabbi Elazar omer, ze vize eino ninkar ela l'shesh. So he says, no, it's all true, right? It's all, everything is true for both. So now they're going to say, well, obviously, then what's the machloket? My la bahakam miflege, de tanakama lo yalif sakhir sakhir. Rabbi Lazar, yalif sakhir sakhir. That must be there, right? That was all we were trying to figure out. Who's the one who darshan sakhir sakhir, and who's the one who doesn't darshan the gzera shava? It must be the one who says the gzera shava says what's true for here is true for there. The one who doesn't says, no, they have unique halachot. So now they're going to say, no, that's not really what the machloket is about. Amarav Tavyumi, Mishmei Da'abaye, Dekule Alma Yalef Sachir Sachir. Both these people learn Sachir Sachir. This isn't the Machloket. V'hacha b'hai kraka miflege. Their Machloket is based on Psukim. Okay, and this is the last chart on the page. Okay, who, it's again one of those ping-pongs. Who learns what from what Pasuk? Okay, and how do they darshan it? My time is Tanakama. Why does Tanakama say just this case, right? It's unique halachot. Just for the mecharuhu beitin, damar mocher atzmo. Oh, so now we're going to say, why does he say damar mocher atzmo nimkar l'sheish v'yeter al sheish? Why is the mocher atzmo for sheish? Because mi'ei rachmana gabei mecharuhu beitin va'avadcha sheish shanim ze v'lo mocher atzmo. It says, and he will work for you, meaning only he will work for you for 6 years, meaning only the one who was sold into slavery. But not someone who sells himself. So he's darshaning the avadcha. We're going to see how this word of avadcha is going to be darshaned in two different directions. Avadcha mi is focused on the avadcha. Avad, right? Avadcha is who's going to work for you. So it's the eved, the avadcha. In other words, this guy is going to work for you and not anyone else is going to work for you for 6 years. V'idach, v'avadcha, he's going to darshan davka the cha. The other guy, what's he going to do with this word, vavadcha sheshanim? Lecha v'lo liyoresh. He works only for you, but he doesn't get passed on to your children. So now, where is the other guy going to learn that halacha from? Because everyone agrees with that halacha, that you don't pass it down to your children in Eved Ivri. V'idach vavadcha achrine k'tiv. There's a different avadcha in that parsha. He's going to darshan it from there. Okay, the word avadcha appears twice. So that's not where he's going to, he doesn't need to get it from there. V'idach, so what does the other guy do with the second vavadcha? He uses it, lahartza'ata donu da'ata. Ah, he comes to teach you, avadcha. It comes up in the context of the, we're not going to look because we don't have a lot of time, but you can look later. It comes up in the context of the piercing of the ear. And therefore, what are we saying? Only, right, that's where he learns the next halacha, that only this type of eved gets the pierced ear, but not the other one. Maitama detana kama de'amar mocher atzmo ino nirtza. Midamiyat Rahmana. So where do we know the Mocher Atzmo is not? Nirtza. One second. No, Hula Hertzaat. Oh, so no, I said that wrong. No, the Avadcha. Sorry, I messed that up. The other, right, Rabbi Elazar, what does he do with the second Avadcha? Because he uses the first Avadcha to teach you L'chavalo L'yoresh. So what does he do with the second one? He uses it to teach you L'hartza'at Adon. He teaches you that L'hartza'at. Oh, right. This is something else. I was getting confused, right, with the Ritzi'ayim, Ayin, and Ritzi'ayim Aleph. This is L'hartza'at Adon. This is to, that it shouldn't be hard for the, right, how does it, I'm trying to remember exactly how it works. One second. It's that you have to appease the master. And it's hard for the master to set him free, right? So, right, L'ratzot. So it means, here, one second,
in order for the master, for the owner to set him free. Right. 6 years he has to.
Right. It has to say avadcha, but why does it specifically need to say avadcha there? That I'm trying to remember the connection between that to avadcha. That, right. They're saying it's to, I guess they're using the word avadcha, meaning he's your slave, to make you feel better, that like you have to take care of him, in other words, and you have to set him free nicely and send him with things when you set him free. That's how he understands the avadcha. Okay, so then they say, "My tama detana kama damar mocher atzmo eino nirtza." So now, where does he get the next thing? That the right? Because now we have to go through the list. Okay, we're not going to finish the list today, but we're going to go through the list. We did nimkar l'sheish, because it says vavadcha sheishanim, only that guy works for sheishanim, not the other one. Not the mocher atzmo. So where does he get that the mocher atzmo doesn't get his ear pierced? Midimiyat rachmana gabe macharuhu beitin v'ratza donav et ozno b'mratzea. So what does it say there again? His ear, meaning only this Eved's ear and not someone else's ear. So now we're going to just finish with what does the other guy do with that? V'lo ozno shel mocher atzmo v'ida hahil gzera shava hu da'ata. He uses that ozno for gzera shava to teach you that it's the right ear and not the left ear. How does he teach that? How do we learn it? Who could remember? Where are we going to learn the right ear from? Where does the right ear of someone come up?
Oh,
D'Tanya?
Going to the Beit HaMikdash.
Right? Yeah, for what purpose? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Minayin L'Ritzia She'ika Ba'ozen Yimanit, Nemar Kan Ozen, V'Nemar Lahalan Ozen, Ma Lahalan Yimin, Af Kan Yimin. Who gets his ear pierced? His ear... Remember his right ear? What's his right ear? The mitzora. Remember he gets the alboin yado yimani, alozen yado ozen yiminit. Okay, so his ear is the right ear. So therefore they say ozno is to connect with the other ozen of the right ear. Okay? And then
they need to.
Well, the other guy, what's he going to say? How do we learn that? So v'idachin kein lemakra ozen, my ozno. Right? Again, he's going to say, oh, well, it could have just said ozen. So why does it say ozno? It comes to teach you two things. That one actually makes sense here, right? Because ozen comes to teach you like the other ozen, and the ozno comes to teach you just his ozen and not the other Eved's ozen. Okay, so they're going to go through the drashot now about how we learn all the things.